We get it underway this afternoon by welcoming in from 98.5 the Sports Hub in Boston, our friend Ty Anderson. Hello there, Ty.
Hey, Rich. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to the whole crew. Happy to be play a really small part in it and be talking to you here on this lovely Tuesday.
Hey, you're the leadoff hitter on our birthday show. That's big stuff.
I'll take it, honestly. I should have brought a cake, though, so now I got to go shopping after this call here.
Well, you know, late cakes are as good as on-time cakes, the way we look at things.
Always.
Absolutely. How have you been?
Pretty good. Just hanging out here, final few weeks before the season gets going here. We seem to have a full grasp of what's going on. You know, it's Sunday Patriots, and then you got your camps with the Celtics and the Bruins. So kind of savoring these last few moments here before it gets hectic beyond belief.
Absolutely. Well, and apparently you had enough time to sit down and plot out what all the lineups will look like this season.
Yeah, I think that based on what we know right now about this team and who they have and what they want to do, you know, Jim Montgomery has leaked a little bit of what he's thinking with his lines. So basically your top six, I think, is going to be, you know, when fully healthy, Marchand, Bergeron, and DeBrusk, and then your second line is going to be Taylor Hall and David Krejci with David Pastrnak. Now, the thing I take away from that top six is that is a really good second line. Mm. I look at that second line, and I think that could be one of the better second lines in hockey. Just based on what we know about David Krejci, you know, we saw him at the 2022 World Championships in Finland. He was playing with David Pastrnak. Their connection was still there. And then if we go back to 2021, you know, Taylor Hall and David Krejci outscored opponents 14-1. You know, at 5-on-5. So that's the makings of a really good second line, assuming that David Krejci hasn't aged out, which I don't think is the case based on what we saw of him last year on international play.
So until Brad Marchand returns, we'll see the new guy on that number one line.
Yeah, Pavel Zacha is going to be the guy who gets the first crack with Bergeron and DeBrusk. I like Zacha. I like what he can do. I think the biggest thing you're going to have to tell him as he makes the switch here from Jersey to Boston is to be selfish, is to shoot more. I think that was something that they wanted to see in New Jersey. He scored a career-high 17 goals during the pandemic-delayed 2021 season. And if he can get back to that level, the Bruins will certainly take it. I like him for a number of reasons, but another element that he can bring is that power play, net front kind of role. He's a bigger body, 6'3", about 220. So he knows how to score from in tight. So I think that can help them out a lot. You look back at last year, that was something that they didn't have. You know, they rotated a lot of guys in that spot, not really a ton of them connected. So I think that's a good role for him as well.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. Defensively, you see Lindholm and Carlo teaming up?
Yeah, at least out of the gate. You know, because I think about it this way, right, that the Bruins, they know that Lindholm and McAvoy can play together. That is a charged-up super pairing. We know that. You really need to see if Lindholm can drive his own pairing. And the other part of it that I find interesting, too, is that Brandon Carlo did not have a good year. Now, one of the reasons he did not have a good year was that he didn't really have chemistry with his partner. You know, Grizzlick and Carlo didn't look right. Riley and Carlo, that was their top pairing, their second pairing, rather, in 2021, and it looked pretty strong, never found that same footing this past season. So I just wonder if they would like to look at this and say, okay, if this works for us, you know, is this now our second pairing? And then you figure out who you put with Charlie McAvoy, whether that's Mike Riley or Matt Grizzlick, you know, when fully healthy. So I like the idea of trying that, and I think it also plays to those guys' strengths as well as you could hope out of the gate this season.
What do you see the rotation and net looking like in the coming season?
Yeah, you know, I think they're going to go with closer to a, you know, what they did last year, sort of that 50-50 split. Now, the wild card here is if Jeremy Swayman can elevate his game to that next level. You know, you remember back, you know, Tuukka kind of did that his second full year, or his second, you know, season of seasoned hockey, I would say, that 2009-10 season. You know, Ullmark had a good year, not a great playoff, in my opinion. So I look at that, and I think the split's going to be there unless one guy takes the ball and sort of runs with it. But I liked what they have last year. And I think what was important about last year is that, you know, they didn't have a stretch where both goalies were in the tank, right? Mm. Like, they had at least one of those guys clicking at every point throughout the season. So if they can maintain that in some fashion, they're going to go with this 50-50 split once again, keep both guys fresh. And I think the days of a goalie playing 55, 60 games, I think it's over, honestly, unless you're one of these superstars like Igor Shesterkin or Andrei Vasilevsky. So I think you want to keep your guys fresh, and the Bruins have the guys that they believe can do that for one another.
Who are a couple guys this year that you think really need to step up for the Bruins?
Well, an obvious one, you know, I think is one of these young guys, whether it's Jack Studnicka or Oscar Steen. You want to go in the back end, Connor Clifton maybe, perhaps. You know, they need one more guy to sort of pop and become part of this next future core for them. You know, Oscar Steen, I thought, had a good start. Very, very quietly faded out of frame to end the season. Jack Studnicka, we're still waiting to see him pop. Now, the problem is these guys are going to have to pop in fourth-line roles out of the gate. So those are two that I look at. I would also say Craig Smith could be better than he was a year ago. Trent Frederick could be better than he was a year ago. Now, they're not giving up on Trent Frederick. They believe that he can still be something for them, you know, more than a fourth-line agitator, more than some guy who, you know, plays with Timmins a night and finishes with less than 20 points. They believe there's a higher ceiling there. So I think you're going to see a concerted effort here from the Bruins to try to elevate him, get that ceiling going, and see what they have there. So he's a guy that I circle as well. Maybe top of the list, perhaps, that you need to find out if he can really be what you need him to be to sort of justify taking him with the first round pick back in 2016.
So as you look at this team right now, Ty, are they better than they were at the end of last season?
Yes, yes. I think that I boil it down to this, that you're going to have a full season of Hampus Lindholm, and you have David Krejci instead of Erik Haula, and you have Pavel Zacha likely playing where Trent Frederick was playing when fully healthy. I mean, that's three upgrades right there. You didn't get worse than you were a year ago, which I think is the most important thing. You know, you need, I think they're a good team, right? I think to be a great team, they need someone to pop. You know, we've talked about Trent Frederick and Craig Smith and all these guys, but, you know, if Brandon Carlo can get back to what he was his first 3 years in the NHL, be healthy, but that makes a big difference. This team could go from good to great. So I think that they are better than they were a year ago, and that's really all you ask for, I think, if you're constructing a team or rooting for a team, for that matter.
Who do you think is the most improved team in the East?
That's interesting. That's really an interesting question. You know, I would say the Rangers, and I say that not because of what they've done, you know, in terms of adding players, as much as I say it's their natural sort of development with the growth of their team. Between Shesterkin, Jacob Trouba is now their new captain, Adam Fox. You know, they have some top picks, too, that I think were showing some signs of breaking out, whether it was Kaapo Kakko or Lafreniere, you know, Filip Hedl. Like they have three guys here that I think could make a big difference for them. And if not them, Carolina, because they were able to add Max Pacioretty, who's going to be out for a while, we all know, but he should be back for the playoffs. And Brent Burns, they did so without really losing much of anything. So I think it comes back down to what you believe in terms of growth, you know, the aging curve and all that. But those are two teams I highlight. Ottawa's a team that made a lot of moves, but their defense still worries me, I think, looking at their team. So they would be in that discussion as well. But I look at New York and Carolina, and I see two teams that are definitely continuing to be on the rise, in my opinion.
Ty, great to talk with you. As always, appreciate you making some time for us this afternoon, and we'll catch you again in a couple of weeks.
Awesome. Can't wait. Hopefully we're talking here for next birthday as well.
Can't wait. Thanks, Ty. Ty Anderson, 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston, getting us underway this afternoon with some great Bruins insight.